This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to address a situation where an employee undermines decisions after agreeing to them in the room. A direct process for confronting quiet sabotage before it fractures your team. In short, when an employee undermines decisions after agreeing to them, you're not dealing with a one-time lapse. You are dealing with a pattern that erodes trust, splits your team, and will repeat unless you address it directly. This conversation requires courage, specific evidence, and a clear ask. Name the gap between what was agreed and what happened, not the person's character. Find out why they did not raise their concern in the room. Make clear what you need from them going forward, and mean it. Definition: employee undermines decisions describes the pattern where a team member agrees to a course of action during a meeting, then works against the decision through private complaints, passive non-compliance, or active discouragement of others. Once the meeting ends, imagine you're sitting in a team meeting. A decision gets made. Everyone around the table nods. One of your team members says, "Yes, I am on board." 2 days later, you hear from three other people that the same person has been telling colleagues the decision is wrong, that it will not work, and that nobody really had a say. The team starts to wobble. The decision, which was sound, is now in question because of what happened after the room cleared. This is what happens when an employee undermines decisions, and it is one of the most genuinely difficult conversations a manager ever faces. It is hard because the behavior is deniable. It is hard because you may like this person. It is hard because naming it feels like an accusation. And so, most managers wait too long, address it too softly, or never address it at all. The damage compounds quietly. Here is what I have learned over decades of watching this play out. The conversation that feels hardest to start is almost always the one that matters most to have. This article gives you a working process for having it well. Why this pattern is so difficult to confront directly. The honest answer is that it sits in a grey zone. The person did not technically lie to your face. They nodded, maybe even said the right words. What they did afterwards is what has caused the damage. So when you go to name it, you're reaching back into time, reconstructing a pattern and attributing intent. That feels exposing on both sides. There is also a risk of looking petty. You might wonder if you are overreacting. I have seen managers talk themselves out of this conversation a dozen times, telling themselves it will settle down on its own. It really does. Quiet sabotage, left unaddressed, teaches everyone watching that it is safe to do. If you want to understand why the pattern starts in the first place, it usually traces back to a gap in psychological safety. The person did not feel they could raise their real concerns in the room, so they took them elsewhere. That explanation matters because it shapes how you approach the conversation. You are not just addressing bad behavior. You're also addressing a breakdown in how your team communicates. For a deeper look at what happens when unmet needs drive this kind of team friction, read how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy. What you need before you sit down with them. Do not go into this conversation without two things in place. First, you need specific examples. Not a general feeling that something is off. Actual instances: what was said in the meeting, what was said or done afterwards, who heard or saw it, and what effect it had. Without this, the conversation drifts into impressions and the other person can reasonably dispute everything. Write down three concrete examples before you schedule the meeting. Second, you need to know what you want to come out of the conversation. Is it acknowledgement of what happened? A commitment to a different approach? A shared understanding of what the rules are going forward? If you walk in without a clear answer to that question, you will leave with a vague conversation that produces no real change. The step-by-step process for this difficult conversation. This is the sequence I have come back to, refined over years of getting it wrong before I started getting it right. Number 1. Open with a specific observation, not an interpretation. Start by describing what you saw or heard, in plain language. Not you undermined the decision, but after Tuesday's meeting, three of your colleagues told me you said the decision was wrong and would fail. The difference matters. Observations are hard to argue with. Interpretations invite denial. Stay with what is observable and keep your tone level. Number 2. Name the gap between the room and what came after. Say directly. In the meeting, you said you were on board. What I am describing happened after that. This is the heart of the conversation. You are not accusing them of lying. You are naming the inconsistency and asking them to account for it. Something like, I want to understand the gap between those two things. Number three, ask what stopped them from raising the concern in the room. This step is where most managers skip too quickly to consequences. Before you judge, get curious. Ask, what was going on for you that made it hard to raise this concern when we were all together? You may hear something that surprises you. A person can nod in a meeting because they do not believe speaking up is truly safe, because they doubted they would be heard, or because they agreed in the moment, and then changed their mind as they thought it through. The answer you get here changes what comes next. If you want guidance on opening a conversation like this without creating defensive walls, the article on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy is worth your time. Number four, listen fully before you respond. This is harder than it sounds when you are frustrated. Let them finish. Do not interrupt to correct them. Do not plan your rebuttal while they are still speaking. When they are done, reflect back what you heard. So what I'm hearing is that you felt the concerns about the timeline were not really on the table. Is that right? This accomplishes two things. It shows you're taking their perspective seriously, and it forces clarity before you move forward. Number five, state clearly what the problem is and why it matters. Once you have heard their account, say plainly what the effect of the pattern has been. Not on you personally, but on the team and the work. When concerns about a decision circulate in private, it creates doubt in people who otherwise would have been confident moving forward. That slows progress and erodes trust. This is not a lecture. It is a short, direct explanation of why this specific behavior creates a real problem, said once. For frameworks on handling this kind of fractured dynamic, the deal method for resolving conflict that fracture team synergy offers a solid structure. Number six, make the ask explicit. Do not leave this implicit. Say exactly what you need to change. Something like, going forward, I need you to raise your concerns in the room or come directly to me before the decision is implemented. What I cannot accept is concerns going out sideways after we have agreed. This is not a threat. It is a clear statement of expectation. Make sure there is no ambiguity about what is required. Number seven, close with a genuine question about what they need from you. This step separates a difficult conversation from a dressing down. Ask, is there something I can do differently to make it easier for you to raise concerns in the meeting? You are signalling that you want the underlying problem solved, not just the surface behaviour corrected. This also keeps the relationship intact, which matters if this person is otherwise a strong contributor. When the pattern has already spread to the wider team, sometimes by the time you address this directly, the damage is not contained to one person. The doubt has spread. Other team members have heard the private concerns and are now uncertain about the decision themselves. Addressing the one-on-one conversation is still the right first move. Do not try to handle this in a group setting. Calling someone out publicly rarely produces genuine change. It produces resentment. After the private conversation, you may need to re-establish confidence in the decision with the broader team. That is a separate step. Acknowledge in your next team meeting that you know there are questions about the direction. Invite them openly, address them, and then close the door firmly. We have made this decision, and we are moving forward together. For guidance on navigating conflict that has already surfaced during meetings, the article on how to handle conflict during meetings covers the terrain directly. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where managers go wrong in these conversations. Three mistakes come up repeatedly. Each has a concrete fix. The mistake: addressing the behaviour too vaguely, hoping the person will understand without being told directly. Why it happens: the manager wants to preserve the relationship and avoids anything that sounds like an accusation. What to do instead? Name the behaviour and the evidence with specificity. Vagueness does not spare feelings, it just leaves the pattern alive. The mistake: jumping to consequences before understanding the cause. Why it happens: the manager is frustrated and wants resolution, not exploration. What to do instead? Spend real time on step 3 before moving to step 6. The cause usually reveals something addressable. Skipping it means you fix the symptom and the route continues. The mistake: letting too much time pass before having the conversation. Why it happens: the manager hopes it is a one-off, wait to see if it repeats, and by then the pattern is established. What to do instead? Have the conversation after the first clear instance. The longer you wait, the harder it becomes to address without it feeling like a build-up of grievances rather than a response to a specific problem. If the situation has already escalated to active interpersonal tension or open disagreement between colleagues, the article on how to de-escalate arguments during meetings addresses that stage, and the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate gives you a structured tool for the aftermath. Your pre-conversation preparation checklist. Work through this before you sit down with the employee. Number 1. Write down the specific instances you are referencing, what was said or agreed in the meeting, what happened or was said afterwards, who was affected. Number 2. Confirm that you have at least 2 concrete examples, not just a general sense of the pattern. Number 3. State clearly to yourself what you want to come out of this conversation: acknowledgement, a changed behavior, a mutual understanding, or all 3. Number 4. Prepare your opening sentence. It should name what you observed without using the word you undermined. Try, "I want to talk about what happened after the meeting on date." Number 5. Prepare your ask for step 6. Write it out word for word. You need to be able to say it plainly under pressure. Number 6. Decide in advance how you will respond if they deny it. Stay with the observable facts, not the interpretation. "I understand you see it differently. What I am describing is what was reported to me, and I need us to address it regardless." Number 7. Think about what you can genuinely offer in step 7, the closing question. If you are not willing to just anything about how you run meetings, do not ask an empty question. When this requires more than one conversation. Sometimes the first conversation produces acknowledgement and genuine change. Sometimes it does not. If the pattern continues after a direct conversation, the problem has shifted. It is no longer a communication issue. It is a conduct issue, and it needs to be treated as one. If the relationship has been significantly damaged by a sustained pattern of this behavior, rebuilding it requires more deliberate work. The bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after a genuine breakdown gives you a structured path through that harder terrain. One conversation well handled, however, resolves this situation far more often than managers expect. Most people who undermine decisions are not acting from malice. They are acting from a belief that the alternative was worse. Give them a safer alternative, make the expectation clear, and most of them will take it. Frequently asked questions. What should I say when an employee undermines decisions after agreeing? Start by naming the specific behavior, not the character. Say what you observed, when it happened, and what effect it had. Then ask them directly what prevented them from raising their concern in the room. Keep the tone firm, but curious. Not accusatory. Why does an employee undermine decisions they agree to? Most often, it is not defiance. It is fear of conflict, doubt about being heard, or a belief that raising concerns openly is unsafe. Sometimes, it is genuine disagreement they lacked the courage to voice. Understanding the cause shapes how you respond. How do I address employee undermining decisions without damaging trust? Address it privately and quickly. Focus on the gap between what was said in the room and what happened afterwards. Make clear that open disagreement is welcome, but quiet non-compliance is not. This separates the person from the pattern and protects the relationship. Is it a difficult conversation to confront someone who agreed, but then undermined the decision? Yes, and it is one of the hardest because the person can easily deny intent. You are confronting a pattern rather than a single moment. That requires specific evidence, a calm delivery, and a clear statement of what you need to change going forward. What if the employee denies undermining the decision? Stay with the observable facts. Do not argue about intent. Describe what you saw or heard. Explain the impact on the team or the outcome. And ask what their version of events is. Then restate what you need from them going forward, regardless of intent. How do I prevent an employee from undermining future decisions? Build a standing invitation for dissent in the room. Tell your team explicitly that raising objections before a decision is made is expected and respected. Close every meeting by asking if anyone has reservations. This removes the conditions that make quiet sabotage feel necessary. The moment an employee undermines decisions after agreeing to them in the room, the clock starts. Trust does not hold indefinitely against a leak that nobody names. The conversation you have been putting off is the exact one your team needs you to have. Prepare for it carefully, say what you actually mean, and give the person a real path forward. That is what leadership looks like when it is doing its proper work. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.